Welcome to the Morning Dew Show. I have a very special guest who popped into the studio on Thursday in advance of a very special award she's about to receive. Glore established a More Glore Award a number of years ago, actually in 2013. And in acknowledgement of the wealth of professional and semi-professional artists, along with talented individuals, groups and communities within the County of Clare. And they, all of these people have substantially provided and been involved in the growth and development of our traditional culture in the county. You are listening to Scariff Bay Community Radio at 88.3 FM, 92.0 FM. And we are delighted to welcome Mary McNamara, concertina player, performer, tutor, great advocate of East Clare style and music, and has done phenomenal work in this county for music over the years. And Mary is to be the recipient of the More Glore Award on the 16th of November in Glore. Of course, this award was established in for the visionary Mairis O'Ruachán, and is sponsored by Glore. And previous recipients of this award were Cora Finn Traditional Music Festival in 2014, Owen O'Neill in 2015, Frank Custy in 2016, Geraldine Cotter in 2017, and Chris Droney in 2018. So just before we have a chat with Mary, I'm going to introduce you to some of her music, a track from her album, Blueberry Blossom, her first track, Shandon Bells. Thought I'd see this day, Mary, the two of us in a studio in Scariff having a chat about this great, great award that you're about to receive. And it's so brilliant that you're going to receive it next week. And a very heartwarming welcome from all of us here in East Clare.
Thank you, Tina.
It's great that you're here. Mary, just tell me about your whole background and growing up at home and everything and learning the music.
Well, my background has always been a very musical background. Yeah. My mother, who came from Ennis, she was Ida McMahon, yeah. and she certainly grew up in a very, very musical household. Her mother played concertina, her father played concertina and fiddle. They were both lovely set dancers, and all her siblings played music as well. Mm. Now, it was a house that a lot of musicians visited, so she grew up having Seamus Ennis visit wow. the house, people like that, Joe Cooley, and she grew wow. up knowing all this music, and unfortunately herself, she didn't learn a traditional instrument. She had done classical piano, okay. but she did do step dancing. She was an Irish step dancer and a very good one at that. Nice. So she met my father in Tulla some years later, and my father came from Clondanna, just outside Tulla. Another great music lover, but he didn't play himself, but he did play a small little bit in the quiet on concertina, but nobody ever heard him, apart from us now and again, oh. if we happened to walk into the kitchen right. when he thought nobody was in the house.
Wow.
So just a little bit, but he had a massive love for music.
And did they ever play together or anything?
Oh, no. But my mother was so musical, every tune out there was in her head. So yes. when we were actually learning tunes ourselves later on, when we advanced in music, she used to teach us a lot of tunes through didling.
Right.
And would correct us on many occasions when we would be going wrong.
Amazing. It would have been quite unusual going back then for somebody to have classical training, wasn't it?
It was funny. I suppose, you know, and like my mother was born in 1927. Okay. And why she was sent to piano, she doesn't know herself.
Yeah.
But she used to get a lift with the milkman who had a horse and trap. And to the piano class. And sometimes she said she used to skip the class and do the milk rounds with him. to the class. Because in those days, she said the teachers were very cross.
And where would she... She was from Ennis, wasn't
Ennis,
she? So she'd
yeah.
be going into the town, I suppose,
she
to
was
the
from
lessons.
The top of the... she was from the turnpike in Ennis.
Wow. So I suppose you got the best of both worlds between your mother's classical ear
yes.
and then her mm. natural, I suppose, capacity for absorbing the traditional tunes orally in her mind, I suppose.
Well, I think she's... Certainly, she's gone now, God rest her, but she was, I think, the most musical person I've ever known to
wow.
this day.
That's amazing.
Now, she sent us in the direction of classical piano training herself,
okay.
And it is a very good education to have. Mm. So we did it for a number of years with the convent in Tulla.
Mm.
Didn't particularly like it, but did
yeah.
it anyway.
I suppose there's a lot of advantages to getting some classical training
yeah.
and combining mm. that with mm. the oral tradition, I suppose.
Yes, there's it does help.
Yes,
it does, yeah.
That's
mm.
amazing.
Mm.
So, and your own teacher then, who would you have learned from?
Well, Vincent Griffin was our first teacher. Vincent Griffin came to the town of Tulla. I was probably about 8 or 9 at the time. And he was teaching at the old boys' school in Tulla.
Right.
And literally all the kids in the town were going to Vincent. And it was every instrument. So we had accordions in the house.
Okay.
Why we had accordions in the house, I don't know. But there was 3 of us, my 2 brothers,
yes.
Andrew, PJ, God rest him, is dead
okay.
now, and myself played the 3 accordions. My sister decided that she would play Bowron. So she didn't really go to the classes, but
oh.
the 3 of us went and did accordion with Vincent Griffin. So Vincent gave us a very good foundation.
So you started on accordion?
On accordion. I played accordion for years.
Right. Was that? Did you find that an advantage then before you... transferred to concertina?
Huge advantage,
yes.
because they have a lot in common.
They have
yes. a lot in common, yeah.
Wow. So for many years you played the accordion first?
Quite a few years, yes.
And was it an individual decision then to change over to the concertina?
No, it was an accident. My grand-aunt, Minnie Murphy from Kilmaley, she was my mother's aunt.
Okay.
She was my mother's mother's sister.
Okay.
She was a very well-known concertina player.
In what was her surname again?
Minnie Murphy.
Murphy, oh,
and
right,
she
okay.
played for all the house dances. And I believe she was, now I never heard her playing, even though we used to go and visit
yeah.
every Sunday, herself and her sister who lived still in Kilmaley. And my father, of course, being such a music lover, really wanted to get her going again. So he went to Limerick and bought her a Hohner 2-row concertina
oh.
and gave it to her. But she had arthritis and she could not get
oh,
it going.
Yeah.
So she said to him, "Look, Andy, take that home. Give it to the young lads and they'll loosen it out for me."
Oh, boy.
At the time, we were playing accordions.
Yes.
So home came the concertina, but I took it and I ran upstairs with it.
Yes.
And I'm playing it since.
That was the end of that.
Mm.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And what age would you have been then, Mary?
Oh, I suppose around 10, I'd say.
Okay,
yeah.
very
mm.
good.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you have a different tutor then at that
point? No, we stayed with Vincent Griffin. Right. Vincent taught in the town for quite a number of years. Then when we started to make some bit of progress, my father had a great insight to bring us to Lena's bar in Feakle every Sunday morning, where there was music being played by Joe Bann, Bill Malley, Martin Roche would often be there, Paddy Grogan, Mikey Donoghue, the best of East Clare musicians playing the most beautiful East Clare tunes.
Every Sunday?
Every Sunday morning after Mass. And we would stay there for quite a few hours. And of course, Lena Hanron behind the bar.
She
couldn't
amazing.
Have a better bar for her. A wonderful person.
Absolutely.
And we loved her so much. And she was so generous. And the welcome there in Feakle on a Sunday morning was something else. It was just everybody coming in loved the music. Everybody listened to it. I would have to say that's where I learned an awful lot of
your music,
my soulful music.
Now that you mention soulful music, I mean that's what it's really about at the end of the day, isn't it?
That, absolutely, yeah.
And what a great opportunity for a young girl to be kind of nurtured in that surrounding.
Very much so, yes.
And of course, there was no recording that at that time, really, was there?
Well, it's interesting that you say that now. I have a great collection of Joe and Bill's music.
Okay.
Thanks to my father. He had a cheap old tape recorder and he recorded a lot of the stuff.
So you have some serious archival material
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. And at the moment, I'm transcribing it, writing it down.
Oh.
Now, we have recorded a lot of it over the years, Martin Hayes, Andrew, my brother and myself, but there is a store of it out there. And it's the regular tunes that people play today, but it's their versions of the tunes. And they are so different in ways and so musical and lovely to listen to.
They'd be very different to the even the interpretation with Clare musicians today of some of the tunes.
Very different. Yeah, the interpretation is very different. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I hope we'll get to maybe hear some of that, or at least if you're transcribing it at some day, maybe there's a book going to come next.
Well, I would love to get the time to do that, and hopefully it will happen down the road.
That's fantastic, Mary. And so your primary place you went was every Sunday over to Tulla, and then over to Feakle to Lena's. And then did you go any further afield, or did you have a lot of tunes in your own house then growing up?
Yes, we always had music in the house, and all our birthday parties were musical sessions. So musicians like John Nocton would come.
Yes.
Joe Cooley used to come on a regular basis because he was a great friend of my mother's growing up.
He was
living in San Francisco. So every time he was home, he would come to our house.
Oh, right.
And there would be a big party, a great party of music, and all the local musicians would come in. And so we were witness to all that at the time.
And of course, at that time, there was a huge number of musicians around the area playing.
Absolutely,
and when you say there as well, you're saying kind of the bigger names. But outside of that, there would have been a lot of local other people that
there
would have just played for fun and played for
pure pleasure.
Pure pleasure.
Mm, yeah.
What a great way to spend your birthdays.
Oh, they
having
were lovely,
sessions in your house.
Having sessions, yes.
Tis as you get older, I suppose you really appreciate having had that.
I think so, yeah, because it was my father that encouraged all that, because he often said to us, these are the days that will matter, you know, and this is, if you want real music, this is where you'll get it.
Yes, absolutely.
I'll bring it with you.
That sounds absolutely beautiful and nurturing. And I'm going to just hop from there kind of forward a little bit, because I believe that you won an Ireland solo and duet. Was it in 79?
79, the same year, yes.
The
concertina, well, in those days it was easy winning All-Ireland, to be quite honest with you.
Oh, I doubt that.
But, the same year, Martin Hayes and I won the duet, the senior duet. And in second place was Eileen O'Brien and Willie Fogarty.
Right.
Now, it was a
second
great
place.
Competition.
Do you hear
that,
Eileen? We'll have to have a chat about that sometime.
And we have, God rest Peggy Hayes, she only died a few weeks ago.
Recent.
She has the recording of that duet competition.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's
so I'll have to talk to Helen to get it.
So how did you go from, we'll say, going from the Sundays and playing your music and over and back, we'll say, to Lena's, and then, you know, that transition, getting involved in the competition, was it something that you did regularly, yourself and Martin, or I'm sure you'd have played lots of together.
Yeah, we did. We played a lot.
Growing up.
As we were improving, my father, again, started encouraging other young musicians in the town, who were not too many, to start coming together and play. the Kalu family, the Torpi family and the Cori family in Tulla, who were all first cousins, combined with us.
Yes.
We were about 10 people in all. So my father said, let's put a Ceilidh band together. And we were the Tulla Junior Ceilidh Band. And it was my mother that didled us through all the tunes that we learned.
Really?
And so you know what's really good about this? We were playing in the key of C. And we didn't even know we were doing that because all those accordion players were single row players.
Yes.
The accordions were BC.
Yes.
So we were playing the inside row.
Yes.
So everybody else had to come down to that key. Yes. And they did it so naturally. Piano player, flute players, everything.
And nowadays it would be held up in a huge achievement to be able to do that, playing your instrument to just mold into the key of C.
So we got quite a few years out of the early 70s, mid 70s up. So we would have gone to all the flats and it was big excitement every year getting ready to go to the flat. Mm. My father had a van because he had a travelling shop.
Okay.
And the day before we'd be getting ready to go to the fla, he would empty out all the goods out of the van. And he was a very resourceful man. He had carpet for the floor. He had a back seat made for the van and two armchairs. And he'd pile all the musicians into that van and bring us off to the fla. The whole band would be in the van and a big box of sandwiches and lemonade and flasks of tea in the back.
The whole lot.
And a couple of concrete blocks just to keep the weight down in the back of the van because at the very back of the van it was a bit light. And all 10 of us had been, and we'd be playing music, having fights, singing, and my mother and father in the front, and the flares were great.
And this was just what you did, and it came as second nature to you. There was no big fuss at all.
No big fuss. And, you know, our big opposition in those days were St. Flannan's.
Okay.
And there you had the makings of Stockton Swing, Kieran Hanrahan, Paul Roach, and those guys.
Right.
They were all our age group and that. So when they'd see us coming, we'd see them coming. We were their opposition, they were our opposition. And so there wasn't many. There weren't too many musicians around in those days.
Yeah, but still, I'm still. It was a great achievement to get those awards.
It was.
And wasn't your father just, even though he only played a little
man.
At home.
But he loved it so much.
What an ambassador. And
he was a major ambassador for music.
He knew the legacy that has continued as a result.
And unfortunately, he died young enough, so he didn't get to enjoy enough of it.
Right, yeah. Mm. I mean, it's very important to acknowledge even the people that aren't necessarily the players.
Yes.
But the people that are passionate about the music and the listeners.
Supporters,
It's as important as the musicians are, all the people out there that support the musicians and what they're doing and the maintaining of the culture, isn't it?
Oh, very much so.
Speaking about yourself and Martin then, will we play a track there from one of your albums? Do you want to introduce
it? It's from the first album I made, Traditional Music from Each Clare. This was made in 1994. In Dublin. I was living in Dublin at the time, and Martin and his father, P. Joe, came up to Dublin to record the album with me. And this track that Martin and I are playing, track 5, is John Nocton's and the Reel with the Burl. John Nocton's obviously is learned from John Nocton's concertina playing.
Yes.
And the Reel with the Burl comes from Mrs. Crotty's concertina playing.
Combining the two together.
And Martin and I learned these tunes from John Nocton, and the Reel with the Burl we learned from P. Joe. P. Joe taught us that.
Super, all together. So here we have track 5. The That's absolutely stunning music, Mary. Do you know what's screaming out there is as that East Clare style, the nya and the holding on to the notes and the synchronicity of the two of you playing that together.
Yeah.
You know, isn't it? It's very distinctive for East
Clare. When I listen to that now, you know, it reminds me of when we were learning it. And as I said, we learned the second tune there from Pidgeot. That style, like we heard, that's what we were listening to when we grew up.
Yeah.
And every time we went to play together, Martin and I, that's what we focused on, was the style that both of us had. Mm. And Pidgeot was a great mentor to us.
Yes.
And we spent a huge amount of time in Pidgeot's house, Martin and I. I'd go up with Martin on weekends, and Pidgeot used to whistle the tunes for us to learn.
So you'd be like, learning from his whistling?
We were learning from him. Rather than
the
fiddle. He'd always whistle, and then he'd play after
a
while.
After, yeah.
But he loved to whistle the tune.
So nowadays we'd listen to a track and we'd be absorbing it, or we'd record it and listen to it, but you were actually listening from the whistling.
Yeah. He loved to whistle it, and then he'd play with us and that. And he did encourage, again, that style and that tightness. And the nya was a wonderful thing. I mean, I learned the nya naturally.
Yes.
Just from listening to it. And Martin and I just seemed to know exactly where to put it in. We'd never arrange it.
You can just hear that in that track, and you can you can hear the kind of, it's not contrived. It's that just natural synchronicity.
Yeah.
And it's very often that space in the music that makes it so musical, as opposed to, you know, if it's over ornamented or if it's pushed too much.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, technique is brilliant and all of those things, but to get that natural musicality out is just something else.
Well, you said it there, technique. I don't think there's much technique in what we're doing there, but there's a lot of music, musicality and rhythm, and the music is being carried with the rhythm and, as you said, the nya itself.
I think it's a different type of technique.
It's the
absorbing and the inherent connection and bringing it out.
It's also being able to play tunes without too much technicality is very difficult.
Yes.
And that does require a certain technique.
Yes,
it's a simple technique, but sometimes a simple thing is more difficult to do.
Exactly.
But we didn't realise that at the time because we just learned it all very naturally. Yes. And when I'm teaching now myself, I have to break it down and say, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'd like you to do.
Right. You okay. Know? And you teach obviously the same way maybe that you were mostly? Or
I mix my teaching because it depends on what I'm teaching, who I'm teaching and all the rest.
Of course, and of course, students nowadays aren't necessarily absorbing it the same way that you would have grown up and things like that. Because the learning is different, isn't it?
It is different, yeah. And I mean, there is natural progression there in music as well. And young people, I mean, when Martin and I were learning that music, we only had that music to listen to.
Yes.
I mean, kids today are listening to a very wide range of
That's
music.
Right.
And they've Spotify and they can listen all day long and they'll want some of this and some of that. You can't say, no, you can't do that. You must stick with this.
Yes.
But I do encourage style when I'm teaching. I encourage it. And a lot of people come specifically to me and say, I want to do what you're doing on the Blackberry Blossom. I want to do what you're doing in that tune with Martin Hayes. Mm-hmm. Can you teach me that? So I do a huge amount of that teaching. On request.
Okay, very good. Mm. Just as you mentioned that track before, we just move off that one. You said you learned that tune, the second one, was it, from Pidgeot?
Yeah.
And you were playing it with Martin there. I think, have you Pidgeot on this album as well?
Pidgeot is on this album,
We go for another one to be great to hear, hear that.
There's a lovely set of reels there, McGreevy's and The Sweetheart and Miss McGuinness. Mightn't be in the right order there now, but...
And this track is with Pidgeot, wasn't it?
Pidgeot, Martin.
And yourself.
Yeah.
So there we had the steam packet, the ladies' cup of tea, and finishing with the humours of Tulla, Sorica and Mary. Beautiful, beautiful music, Mary. And so speaking still about your students and all the work you've done with them, you've done a lot of exchanges with some of the groups as well, bringing groups from East Clare to various different places.
Absolutely. The first exchange we did was Shetland. I was in Shetland myself in 2001, I think. I went out with Manus Maguire.
Hmm.
And we did a fiddle and accordion festival out there and played at it. And it was the most fantastic experience. Now, I was absolutely blown away with the music out there, and in particular, the young people that were playing.
Okay.
And there was a youth concert on the Sunday morning. And I went and queued up to get into that because it was absolutely full. And I was very lucky to get a seat. And I sat through 2 hours of the most unbelievable music.
And
I said to myself, all school going.
Wow.
You know, from about 12 up to 18. And I said to myself, I've got to share my music with these people. I've got to just let these people meet each other. So I picked a group.
Okay.
And the group I picked was Margaret Robertson's group.
Okay.
And I said, would you be interested in doing an exchange with my students? And she said, yes. And it took off from there. We did 5 exchanges in all with Shetland, between they coming here and us going to Shetland. The first group we brought over were 29 students from here, mixing with another 30-something over there. In the previous 6 months, we exchanged 25 sets of tunes between each other.
I was just going to ask you, what did the exchange involve?
Oh, the exchange was,
So how long were the trips, like 3 or 4 days? Or?
We were there for 5 days.
Two days
travelling over, 5 days there and 2 days travelling back. Shetland is very far away.
Very far away. So
is,
you had actually 3 days there and students were picking up 25 tunes?
No, this was done 6 months prior to us going.
Right.
So it was a big project.
Yes.
So, I mean, I had sent on a repertoire to them and they had sent us their repertoire. When we arrived in Shetland in 2002 on that first visit, and they picked us up at the boat that morning. There was 50 of us on the trip, and because we brought parents and extra people. And we went to what was called the boathouse, where everybody met for the first time.
Okay.
And sat down, every Shetland Irish, every, and tore into Rolling in the Barrel, the tap room, and the Earl's Chair.
Every time.
No, that was the first piece of music. That was our first contact.
The tunes.
Yeah, that set of tunes. And there was over 50 musicians playing the Shetland.
All playing it as well.
And the Irish musicians. And it was the most unbelievable sound, atmosphere. And
amazing.
Out of that came a friendship, which is still there today.
Yes.
So they came back to East Clare. They stayed in Lucknads Hostel in Feakle. And we worked, we did all the local bars around. We worked in the hall in Feakle. We went, we did concerts. We were in the church. We did everything. And again, we had our repertoire of both sides shared. We played Shetland music with them. They played Irish music with us. They performed on their own. We performed on our own. And we did a huge amount of dancing. They learned our dancing. We learned their dancing. So we learned so much about each other's culture, which was a huge part of the exchange and learning for the students. In the meantime, I had got a grant from Lurgus to fund this.
I was just going to say it must have required a phenomenal
huge money.
Amount of money.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think 5 of the exchanges I've got a grant. Now, that was huge work getting the grant as well, but we did get the grant.
Absolutely. Between applying for the grant and doing all the repertoire and the months of preparation and exchanges and accommodations and everything.
It's a nightmare, but it was worth it all. And I meet some of those kids that were on that first trip. Some of them are up nearly 30 years of age now. I meet them and they nearly cry. They talk to me and say, we will never forget that.
So they were all, were they under teens?
They were all teens,
teens.
Between 14 and, they had to be 15 to go. I got away with bringing a few 13-year-olds. That was the condition of Lurgus.
Yeah.
Then we went to Norway.
With another exchange?
With another exchange.
After that?
And Norway came back here. So. And that was unbelievable.
Amazing. I mean, what a rich experience for any young teenager to be able to travel to another country.
Unbelievable, And then we went to Boston.
Wow, another exchange.
Another exchange. And
so
after that, we did London. We did four trips, 2 ways to London. We were in London twice. London came twice to us. We're on a rest at the moment.
My goodness, that's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And not only did you do all those exchanges for those young people and facilitate and organise and coordinate all of that. I mean, I said you were a teacher, but I mean, that's phenomenal what you have offered and to all of these young people, the experiences, as you say.
Yeah.
I can understand why some of them that are 30 years of age now would have such amazing fondness, affection and memories of the time.
They have. You know Brian Corrie from Scariff?
Yes, Brian. Yes, yeah.
Brian was a student of mine and a great friend. And he was on the Norwegian, he was on the Shetland and the Norwegian trip. Wow. And he was amazing.
I can imagine. On,
and when I meet Brian, they're the kind of things we talk about.
Yes.
And I mean, I know he brought a lot out of those. Yes. I mean, the Norwegian trip was amazing because the Norwegian music is very different. Mm. It's, you know, this really offbeat kind of stuff and it's difficult to learn.
Okay.
And their dancing was great fun. And we just had a most wonderful time there. And they are, some of those young people are still in contact. Mm. So, I mean.
And the friendships, I suppose, forged as a result.
Absolutely.
And not only have you done all those exchanges, but you yourself on a professional level have done amazing journeys. You've been to Germany, France, England, Scotland, USA, Japan, Austria, New Zealand. Mm. And I'm sure they're not
Australia.
Even. You see, there's no, I know I said I'm sure there's another one or two in there. I mean, that's amazing. And were these for performances that you were doing, Mary, in group performances or with yourself?
Why would you believe it is all of what you've mentioned there? I've been there in those places as a solo performer.
That's amazing.
Playing at festivals, which is quite a, it's daunting thing to have to
imagine.
It's tough going, but it was a great experience.
Tough going and the travelling and doing solo performances
solo
as well.
Solo performances is very tough. I still do a bit of it, but not as much.
And I suppose you're going into venues that you're maybe not getting to rehearse in or have a team and you don't know. I mean, that's, you know, looking at performance is a huge thing. And I can just imagine a fantastic opportunity, but a great undertaking, but a lot of anxiety around it perhaps as well.
Yeah, there can be a bit of that. Yes. There is no doubt. It depends, you know. I always, as I said to you earlier, and I encourage my students to do the same thing, I close my eyes and I play for the listener when I'm performing, whether that's in a room, whether that's 20 people in it or 200 or 2,000.
Right,
and I've done all those rooms. I think the most interesting tour I've done was Japan.
Right, okay.
I was in Tokyo for 10 days.
And did you?
And I did 3 concerts a day. For 10 days.
A day?
3 concerts a day, solo.
Solo?
Yeah. But I've never played to audiences so passionate. Mm. I was looking down at the audience. Some people had tears in their eyes. Amazing. That's how much they loved the music.
Japan in particular, they have an amazing grow.
Oh, they're unbelievable
for Irish
people,
music, don't they?
They have,
and they're extremely good at picking it up as
They are very gifted, intelligent people.
Very,
and
very
anything they take on, they master it.
Absolutely. That's amazing. That's amazing. So I think, Mary, I mean, I could sit here. I know I've only tipped the iceberg. I actually was conscious that your brother, Andrew, as well, we hardly got a look in, but because you've done some recordings together as well, haven't you?
We did Open Heart.
Open Heart.
And we specialised in the tunes of East Clare, Bill Malley, Joe Bann.
Yes,
John Nocton, and that was a very successful CD.
And you know, I just want to acknowledge, of course, Andrew as well. You know, your brother has done phenomenal, produced a load of albums as well, has done absolutely
incredible musician,
and has done great things. And I think we should maybe have time to play a track there of Andrew's. Maybe we should play some. And that was Andrew Mack there, taken from his album The Dawn, Mary's brother, an amazing musician as well. Mary, it's come to that time. I can't believe an hour has passed. Just to say, I suppose, that the big concert and the big Mordlore Award is happening on the 16th of November.
Yes.
And you have a few friends joining you, I think, have you?
Yeah, it's going to be a great concert. I'm looking forward to it myself. Opening the concert are the Tullogue Kelly Band. These are a young Kelly Band under 18. I've been training them since they were 6 years of age.
Your
most
own
of them.
Students?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic.
And they have several All-Irelands won, so they're going to open the concert.
Fantastic.
And then we're going to continue with what I call a concertina run. My past students, a lot of them.
Okay.
The likes of Eamor Dondon, Sinead Mulqueen, you know, people like that.
Fabulous.
And we're going to play a selection. And then we have our family item for my daughter and my son. My son is coming home from Barcelona to play with me. And also my great friend Pat O'Connor is going to come on and
Very
play
good.
A selection with me. Pat has done so much music with me over the years. And the first half of the concert will finish with the Bruma Trio.
Okay,
Eileen, Brian, Jardine,
Cotter
and Andrew.
Yes.
And the second half of the concert opens with Padre O'Reilly,
wow.
A great friend from Cooley, Mark Donlan, Brian Donlan and Jim Corrie. And then finishing off, we have McCalla, the all-women's group who formed in 1984 for International Women's Day in Dublin.
And were you the first lady, or
we were the first all women's group.
You were yeah. part of that.
I was
first
in that group. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yes.
What year was that again, Mary?
1984. On International Women's Day, we had a concert in the Ormond Hotel on the Quays in Dublin, completely sold out. Audience full of men.
I mean, oh my God, isn't that that's amazing? I mean, I'm getting goosebumps up my back here because it's all really a reflection of every part of your journey, through the years, isn't it?
Absolutely. Like and we were all young women in Dublin. Most of us not from Dublin, a lot of us, because I mean, the likes of Mairéadh Bhuinnic, Seosfhinne Bheoglaigh, Mairéadh Bhuinnic from Alton, as yes. you know, Seosfhinne Bheoglaigh, Catherine McAvoy, yes. who was the Grotham Cole Musician of the Year last year, Maureen Faye, Patsy Broderick, you know, wonderful musicians.
Amazing.
We broke up after 10 years because it wasn't easy to keep the group together. But we do come back together every now and again. When I contacted them and told them I had this award got, they said, yeah, we're coming.
Well, if anybody mm-hmm. out there wants to get a glimpse of this and this amazing, amazing night, is it nearly sold out?
It's nearly sold out, yes. My goodness. Nearly, yeah. But to try the box office, there might be a few tickets left.
It's on at 8 o'clock on the 16th of November. And I think the tickets are €22, a concession of 20. It's come to that time now where I'm hoping I'm not going over, but I definitely want to play out with one more track from the Ladies' Cup of Tea, which is, of course, Sorica and Mary. And from the bottom of my heart, Mary, in advance of next week, a huge congratulations.
Thank
you. Feel very, very honoured that this was actually my first interview for Scariff Bay Radio, and I'm really honoured it was with yourself, Mary.
Thank you,
and
Cliona.
And heartiest of congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank
Pleasure
you very, very much. So we're going to play out with what is the set? It is going to be track 6, the Dairy Maid set. The Dogs Among the Bushes and Martin Wins from Scariff Bay Radio. Thank you very much.